Sacred Teeth 2005. In your home, at work, and around the world, broadcasting without borders, this is the Pal Talk Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eye on the Future with Hepzibah. Pal Talk, the number one multimedia community on the internet. Visit Pal Talk's website at www.paltalk.com. This is Eye on the Future Radio, broadcasting on the Pal Talk Radio Network. Trust it, be connected, be informed. Visit Eye on the Future's website at www.eyeonthefutureradio.com. The topic for tonight's show? Part 2, Religions and Secret Societies. What are the hidden foundations of religions and what are their influences on world affairs today? With Hepzibah is a very special guest tonight, Jordan Maxwell.
Hi, Jordan. I got the bulletin here, and knowing what you know, this is just right off your alley, ladies and gentlemen. This is it, the London Sunday Times, the prestigious mainstream newspaper in England, published an article on its website on Sunday, 04-1705, claiming Cardinal Ratzinger of Germany, the front-runner for becoming the next pope. Is it the former member of Hitler Youth and served in Nazi military with an anti-aircraft battery and shot down U.S. and English bombers. Russia has denied in the past any involvement with the Nazi party or military. What a lie! The article was immediately picked up by all major news service. Then only a couple of hours later, it totally disappears. That just shows you the power the Roman Catholic Church has over its masses. Disgusting. And tonight you're listening to our guest, your friend, Jordan Maxwell, www.jordanmaxwell.com. Contact jm@jordanmaxwell.com. Bio, Jordan Maxwell continues as a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of the occult religious philosophy. His interest in these subjects began as far back as 1959. He served for 3.5 years as the religion editor of Truth Seeker magazine, America's oldest free thought journal since 1873. His work exploring the hidden foundations of Western religions and secret societies, creating enthusiastic responses from audiences around the world. Well, enthusiastic! Let us say what you're doing, Jordan. You are shaking up everything they thought they could believe in. And what is that with Cardinal Ratzinger?
Well, that's quite an interesting story, but it doesn't surprise me at all. I already knew before the last pope passed away, I already knew what was on schedule, what the scam was, because I've been following this kind of thing for, as I said before, over 40 years I've been looking at it, and once you begin to see the symbols and words and terms and watch it for many, many years, it becomes very obvious who's doing what and how they're doing it. In the past, I've used as an example. If you're a new policeman or if you're a new detective and you just got out of college and you finally got a job with the police department and you're a detective now for the first time, and you go out onto a crime scene as a new detective, a rookie, and you're going out with Columbo, and you are frantically trying to do everything you've been told at university, do everything right,
uh-huh.
And while you are beating your head up against the wall trying to remember everything you were told, the old guy Columbo is not interested in any of that, because he's done this for over 40 years, and he's the master in this stuff,
yes.
So he doesn't even look at any of that stuff. That's just for the rookie. But the guy who's been looking at it for and doing it for many, many years, Columbo kind of walks in, if you've ever watched his movies, in about 5 minutes, he's pretty much figured out what the name of the tune is and who did what, and now he has to prove it. But he pretty well, because of the years of experience, knows what to look for, knows what the symbols are, knows how people act, and he's pretty well figured it out, you know, 10 minutes into the show. He already knows what the score is. Well, that's basically what I feel. I mean, I'm so overwhelmed by how much is being laid out right in front of us. And as a people in this nation, we've done no homework, we've done no reading or studying of history.
No, because you wouldn't want to do that. It is better to be followers than to become leaders or live in the know.
That's exactly right. And consequently, you would not want a 20-year-old young man to know anything about his family, his mother, his background, his culture, nothing. All he needs to know is what is expected of him of his government at this moment. His morals, ethic, his background, his family's bloodline, all of that makes him an individual and gives him his purpose in life of who he is totally unimportant. What is important now is not to look back, but look to your masters and what you want to do right now. Because Adolf Hitler even said, to control the future, you must control the past. Because if people understand history, they have something to judge you by. They can judge what you're doing by looking back at what Caesar of Rome did.
Well, isn't that what it is all about? But even when you look in historical writings, how many historical writings are there that are the truth and nothing but the truth? This is so disgusting, because here, also when they talk about Ratzinger, they're quickly taking it off the air everywhere, and so people are not supposed to know what this man did during World War II. The same as with the past, folks. So how many things are there that people are not aware of, and then they have, well, are they stupid, or are they having their head in the sand?
Well, I know. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the Pope that just passed away. Back in the late 70s, Malachi Martin wrote a book. He's a very famous Catholic author. And he wrote a book called Final Conclave, which is interesting, the very thought of it. The Final Conclave by Malachi Martin. And in that book, he said that Pope Paul, the Pope at that time, the late 70s, was very sick and was not expected to live much longer. And so they knew that there was going to be a new Pope coming, and so all the buzz around the Vatican. And so Malachi Martin, in his book, Final Conclave, said that there were two cardinals being groomed for the new papacy or for the new pope. And one of them, he said, is an Italian cardinal who is very highly respected and loved around the world by Catholics. But there is another obscure cardinal who many do not know much about, who is a Polish cardinal. And he said in his book, and of course, Malachi Martin was the highest ranking Jesuit theologian in the world, and intimately connected to the Vatican. And so he had the knowledge, and he was writing this, and he said that if the Italian cardinal is chosen, which most likely he will have to be, because there's so many people around the world that want him to be Pope, for political purposes, they'll have to make him Pope. And if he is made Pope, he will die rather quickly.
Uh-huh.
He said, you can bet on it, he will die quickly. Because the powers inside the Vatican, Propaganda New Way, P2 Lodge of Occult Freemasonry, the Knights Templars banking orders operating inside the Vatican.
Yeah, Opus Dei.
Opus Dei. fact is going to be exposing the secret societies of underworld organizations that have been running the Vatican for years, called Opus Dei, Propaganda 2A, P2. Go on the web and look up the word Propaganda 2A, D-U-E. Propaganda 2A, or P2 Lodge, simple. If you go on Google and don't put www anything, just put in P-2 Lodge, P2 Lodge, and it will give you all the information on Lucio Gelli, Miguel Sedona, all of the nefarious stuff going on inside the Vatican, and of course, the Godfather movie, the third in the series. If you haven't seen Godfather 3, then you need to go get it and watch it. Because Francis Ford Coppola, when producing the Godfather series, the third one is on this story I'm telling you. So Godfather 3 is telling you the same story I'm telling you. And in the movie, as in the book, Malachi Martin says that the Italian Pope will be killed as soon as he gets into office, because the powers that be behind the thrones of Rome cannot allow this Italian to stay there very long, because he's going to be a very big problem. And so they'll have to put in, they will have their man, who's been on the take for years, he's their boy. Malachi Martin said he's their man in the Vatican, is the Polish cardinal. And if he is made, and then he will be made the Pope, and when he is made the Pope, the powers that be, the international money elites, will seek to it that he is promoted as the most holiest, wonderful, decent, and loving Holy Father, because they know, the powers behind the Vatican know, that the people are nothing more than animals. They will live, they will do whatever their masters tell them. And so they will put it out all over the world, what a wonderful man this is. And Malachi Martin says, no, the Polish cardinal will be made Pope because he's in the pocket of Propaganda Dule, P2 Lodge. He's in the pocket of the international financial elite. And he's their boy in the Vatican. So that by their fruits you will know them. Well, by the fruitage of what you just witnessed in the last month of the passing of the Pope, think about what you saw. Don't just become enamored by all of the pomp and circumstances and ceremonies, but think about it. When a high-ranking rabbi in Israel passed away, there was nobody here in America that was even told about it. A lot of the Jews didn't even know. When a high-ranking Protestant minister passes away, there'll be a little blip on the back page of newspapers. But when the Holy Father, who was in the pocket of Propaganda Dule, the world's most incredible, wealthy, financial combine of terrorism around the world, when he passes away, all of the American media crawls on their knees and weeps and wails, and there's specials on TV and specials on Discovery Channel and specials on this and specials on that. And of course, if you look at the audience that was in Rome for the Pope, you will see all of the enemies, so-called, of each other. You'll see Nazis and fascists and communists and mafia, Lucas and Nesta, and all of the syndicates and all of the filthiest and degenerates of the world who are raping and plundering and organized crime, and they're all there with their hankies out and their women and their wives, and they're all drying their eyes because of the passing of the Holy Father. And I think to myself, this is why America and the world at large is in fact going under. The entire civilization of the Western world is now in the process of going under big time quick. Why? Because the entire world is in the hands of the wicked one, like the scripture says. The entire entire world is standing in the path of the darkness that's coming into the world. And people cannot get enough of this. They love to weep and wail and fall on their knees for a man who, admittedly, by the people on the inside of the Vatican, say he's their boy. He is Propaganda Due's boy. He is the boy. He's their man. They put him where he is.
Yeah, but how many people are really understanding that the today's Catholic Church is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in existence? How many people know that, $51 billion a year that travels through there from all kinds of crimes and dark actions into Banco Ambrosiano? So what is it with the public at large that they are not wanting to come to wake up and to say, hey, wait a minute, let's take a look at all this crap, because, you know, when you listen to people, and little children are condemned because they are not Christian, and we have social workers that say to good people, you cannot take care of this child, you're not born again, then we have a problem in this society.
No, I know. I'm just amazed at how much Americans, we have certainly fallen away from the great spirit of America that was to investigate. Every man has a right to be heard, and we have the media that will, journalists who will do the research and bring the issues before the people and all of that, until you find out that the media is owned by Rome. Period. And once you begin to see your very government, the symbols of your very government, Washington, D.C. Look at the symbols of Washington, D.C. I know it's a strange idea, but it would be very interesting to understand what you're looking at when you drive into the city called the District of Columbia. That's a whole story in itself. Why is it called the District of Columbia? Well, I think we talked about this before, about how Caesar's government in ancient Rome, go through the encyclopedias, go to the, go on the web, as a matter of fact. Just go on the web, and again, as I said, don't put in WW anything. Just go on the web, link to Google, and put in the word Capitol Line Hill. Capitol Line, I-N-E, Capitol I-Line Hill. Capitol Line Hill, and hit the button, and you will see hundreds of entries about reference work, encyclopedia reference work, on the seat of power of the Roman Empire under the Caesars of Rome. And you will find that Caesar, during the times of the high point of the domination of the world by Rome, Caesar ruled in Rome from some place called Capitol Hill. That's history. Go on the web and go to a library and look up Capitol Hill. Capital was a Latin word. Capital is Latin for money. It is connected directly to the concept of money, finances. So if you don't have the capital, you can't do anything. So the capital is up on the hill, and is up on something called Capitol Hill or Capitol Line Hill. So when you understand Capitol Hill in America is a Roman fascist Catholic establishment.
I love it when you say fascist. You know,
it represents, and I say fascist because FAS, F-A-S, in a law book, the word is F-A-S, in a law book, and look up the word FAS, F-A-S, and it will tell you in Latin, FAS is God's law, as opposed to J-U-S, which is man's law. Man's law in Latin is J-U-S, which gives us justice, which incidentally came from the Roman Emperor Justinian. So J-U-S is man's law, and F-A-S is God's law. and consequently the administration of God's law over the world is called fascism or fascism. So when you see on the dollar bill "In God We Trust," we're talking. And his law, which is spelled FAS, World Totalitarian Fascism. We're talking about the rule of the world by Julius Caesar, by Tiberius Caesar, the emperor of the world. Once you understand that Caesar declared himself to be God, he was no longer just a man ruling over everybody and murdering and plundering and bloodletting around the world to put people on their knees and cut their heads off. No. No, he is now actually God. And as such, he now is the world fascist leader of the entire world, which is referred to in the ancient Rome as God's kingdom.
Okay.
He is representing God. And so I'm saying, well, man, would you sit for hours and days and read this in reference books? You begin to say, oh, I see why we now have a Capitol Hill. Now I see why, and the Capitol has a dome. Now I see why it's called a dome on the Capitol, because dome goes back to a Latin word, domus. Domus comes from the root word in Latin for God. It was the spirit of God, was called dunus or domus, which gives us that word dome, dominate, domineering, domesticate, Dominican, domus, a dome. Do you know the implications of what a dome means? This is why there's a dome in Washington, D.C. over the Capitol, up on the hill, Capitol Hill. It is the same design as the dome on the Capitol Hill in Rome, on the Vatican, the Domus. So once you begin to see the connections between the Domus, Capitol Hill, Caesar, the Senate. The United States Senate is actually the symbol. If you write to the United States Senate and have them write you back, in their official envelope will be the official seal of the U.S. Senate. You will see on the seal two fascis. Now, happily, 99% of all Americans in this country have no idea what I'm talking about. None. Zero. But if you look up the word fasci, fascis or fascis or fasci, you will see that a fasci is a bundle of sticks tied with the way it is tied is in a cross, and it's the cross of St. Andrew's. And in that bundle of sticks, you will see a hatchet head, and it's called a fasci. Now, most people in Europe, they already know what the fasci represents. As Americans who've been watching Channel 7 and basketball, who have no idea in the world what a fasci represents and where it comes from. And consequently, in Europe, they already know that symbol of the fasci is the symbol of ancient pagan Rome domination over the entire world.
Now, how many people really know that the 25th of December is the birth celebration of Mithra? How many of these people are researching? When you are speaking with the audience here, and they're from all over the place, do they realize that you really are unwrapping something that they think is a baby in diapers? But in reality, it is the most dark and the most horrible institution this world has.
Well, look at Dick Gregory said it best. He said, if you come home one day and you're looking for your children and their friends, they have their friends over and all the kids are gone, and you're wondering, where in the world are the children? And then you go downstairs in the basement and flip on the light, and you'll see all the kids sitting on the floor in a circle with candles. and they have wine and they have bread there, and you say to the children, what in the world are you kids doing down here in the dark with candles and wine? And they said, well, it's a ritual we're doing. And so what are you talking about? Well, I said, well, we are symbolically eating your flesh and drinking your blood.
You know what you just said? And my audience used to get very angry because I used to say the ritual means, of course, eating your flesh and drinking your blood, you bunch of barbarians.
Yeah, but the thing is, that goes back to an old Sumerian, Babylonian, Phoenician symbol. And the ancient Phoenician temples of the Canaanites, that was, you go on the web and just look at it. Go to a library and look up the word eating your God. And it's an old ancient celebration and a ritual to eat your God. This is why, and my God, I mean, I don't even know where to start on all of this. I've been doing it for 45 years and I'm trying to explain things which take weeks and months of study to understand, and I'm trying to do the best I can with it. In the old Phoenician system of religion, they were Baal worshippers. Well, that was another name. Baal became known in Rome as Mithra, but Mithra was actually called Baal, B-A-A-L or B-E-L. B-A-A-L is Baal. And Baal are in the old Phoenician system, and we're talking about ancient Israel, Lebanon, all of that area in the Mediterranean called the Middle East, that was called Cana. And the people of Cana, or that whole area, where the bloodline was called Phoenicia, the Phoenicians. And their religious celebrations thousands of years ago in the ancient Middle East, they would sacrifice a human victim, usually a young child or a young person, on the altar. They would kill the child and then they would burn him. And then they were worshiping Baal. Well, Baal, as I said, was spelled B-A-A-L or B-A-L or B-E-L. Could be spelled different ways. But Baal was the sun. And consequently, the sun is round.
Wasn't Baal the Lord and his wife Semiramis both?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, but the point I'm making is that the sun was round and his name was B-A-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we still say that the kids go out and play with a ball, B-A-L-L. No, it's B-A-L or B-A-A-L, not B-A-L-L. But the sun is a ball. And so consequently, the whole idea in civilization is to have everyone playing with a ball. So you got football, baseball, tennis ball, ping pong ball, baseball, all kinds of balls, because it goes back to the worship of Baal, B-A-A-L. Now, when the Baal worshippers, or Baal worshippers, the worshippers of the sun, would kill their victims, they would then say some prayers over the victim after they killed the kid, and then they would light a fire and burn the victim. And consequently, the concept was where we get the idea of Holocaust, of burning the victim. Then, after they burn the victim, according to the reference work, encyclopedias and dictionaries and reference work on the old Baal worship,
mm-hmm.
The priest would then begin to eat parts of the body.
Yes.
He would eat pieces of it.
Yes.
Because they were eating the flesh and drinking the blood of their sacrifice.
Yeah, like Bungo of Ambrosiana got all the gold fillings, and so did they go to the Bush family, as was told by many of the survivors of World War II. So they literally ate and celebrated the death of all these poor thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, especially the Jews that were.
Yeah.
That's why you have a word, Holocaust, burning up the victim. Okay? But again, we go back to the altar. They kill their sacrifice, usually a young child, not always, but usually, and they would burn the body, and then the priest would consume with the drinking the blood and eating the flesh of the sacrifice, which is we refer to it as communion in the Catholic Church. You eat the blood and drink the blood and eat the flesh of the sacrifice.
Yes, so, again, the Bavarian story.
Right, but the point is, I'm getting to, is that these were Baal worshippers, and they were in the, and we're talking about the land of what was the Bible called the land of Cana. The land of Cana, Phoenician peoples in the land of Cana were Baal worshippers. So this is where we get our word cannibal, because it comes from Cana, Baal. The Cana, Baal worshippers eat people after they kill them and fry them. They will eat the body. They will drink the blood and eat the bread. The bread of life is your body.
Now, according to what you just said, these stories are not so far-fetched when we look at some places like Vatican and some of the royal houses and some of the secret societies, right?
Of course. As a matter of fact, when you begin to look at these rituals that came out of the old ancient Phoenician, Babylonian, Sumerian system, especially the Phoenician system in Cana, and the very word Cana is a Phoenician word. And if you look it up, you will find the word Cana in the old Phoenician dictionary means merchant banker. And so consequently, the merchant bankers, or the idea, the concept of international banking, is a Canaanite idea.
Uh-huh.
And this is why the wealthy always, there were always symbols that the wealthy men who were the merchant. And then one of their symbols was always a walking cane. So they had a walking cane because they were Canaanites. They were the aristocrats who were manipulating the money for the human race. And consequently, the human family was to be a sacrifice. And so consequently, you sacrifice to your God. And therefore, the world wars, all of the wars going on around the world, these are human sacrifices. And the way we know that's true, once you understand, you cannot have a war. I don't even care if you're a Mickey Mouse little street gang. You can't have any kind of a confrontation with another gang if you don't have any money.
That's right.
So you can be angry and mad and mean. But if you don't have any money, you don't even have gas to get downtown to start a war. So consequently, money. That's where the action is. If you've got the money, now you can be somebody. This is why the major gangsters of the world, like Al Capone, they were such a terror to everyone. Why? Not only because they're ruthless, they got guns, they don't like killing people, but the problem is they got money. And they can do it. They can buy off politicians. They can buy off anybody they want. And if they can't buy them off, it's okay. They can shoot them. You know? So, consequently, money is very important to war. Well, when the Pope died, just a few days ago, we saw a religious spectacle right in your face. And most people will look with their eyes, like the Bible has Jesus saying, many will look with their eyes, but not see. And they will listen with their ears, but not hear.
That's right.
And there's a third aspect to that. Go back and read the scripture. There's a third one that says, and with their hearts, they will not get the sense of it. Meaning that you will look at something happening and watch it in detail, listen to the news, watch it with your eyes, and with your heart, not get the sense of it. But if you had the spiritual dynamics, if you were in tune with that divine presence in the universe that men have called God, if you were a spiritual person, which unfortunately most of the human race has let themselves become nothing more than material products, but if you were a spiritual individual, you would have would have quickly seen, here is an audience of people coming to pay their high respect to a very powerful man. Nobody paid much of respect to Jesus. I mean, even his friends deserted him. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. But here was a very powerful man in Rome. And everyone, all the enemies, the Nazis were there, the communists were there, belligerents in war, all sides and all the different wars, they sent their representatives to Rome. Why? Because all the silly nonsense about going and killing people in Vietnam and Cambodia and the Middle East and in Europe, and all the wars and bloodshed going on around the planet, the different mafia families killing each other. However, when the Holy Father dies, all killing stops. Everything stops. The Americans get on their knees and begin to weep and wail. And all of the American media begins to shake and become frightened, and the blood drains from their head, and they're frightened to death, and oh my God, we have lost the Holy Father, and the mafia dies.
Yeah, but who be clear now when you say this?
Yeah.
It really gets me when you say the Holy Father. No, but that guy, he didn't even publicly father anybody. So whose father was he?
Well, yeah, but then you have to understand the reason why they call him the Holy Father is because even in Rome, your father was referred to as Papa. Papa is an old Italian term that even the Jews have used, Papa. Papa is a Latin word for a door, period. So Papa means a door. But you cannot open a door, and of course your Papa was the door to your life. He was the one that opened the door to life for you. And so consequently, when you were born, it's like going through the door. You go through the holy door. You go through the door to a new life. You leave the spirit, and you are now born into this world, and therefore it was Papa that was the door to breaking you into the world, all right? Once you understand that Papa means door in the old Etruscan or Italian Latin, and Papa means door, but you can't open a door without a hinge. So consequently, in Latin, hinges are referred to as cardinal. And so if you're a hinge, you're a cardinal, like a cardinal point on the zodiac or a cardinal point on a map. Cardinal means a hinge, where you start from. So therefore, the cardinals are the hinges for Papa, the door. But you say, wait a minute, the door to what? Now you get into something interesting. What do you mean, door, Papa, Latin? What do you mean, the Etruscan word by Papa? What is this word? What does it mean, the door? What's behind the door? Well, what's behind the Papa, or the Holy Father, is the door to the old ancient Assyrian Babylonian mysteries.
Uh-huh.
And once you begin to see that, it's frightening. If you really begin to see in detail what I'm talking about, it's the kind of thing that most people will ultimately not be able to handle. They're not going to be able to handle the idea of child sacrifice.
Jordan just wants to let's just some giving information to the people that are not through the web, but that are listening. And our guest is Mr. Jordan Maxwell, actually your best friend, and website www.jordanmaxwell.com. You can contact jm@jordanmaxwell.com. And ladies and gentlemen, perk your ears up if you are listening. Jordan Maxwell continues as a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of occult religious philosophy. His interest in these subjects began as far back as 1959. He served for 3.5 years as the religion editor of Tutsito magazine. America's oldest free thought journal since 1873. His work exploring the hidden foundations of Western religion and secret societies creates enthusiastic responses from audiences around the world and shakes them into the know. You know, sometimes they just take the coffin out of their ear and they start to listen. So you who are out there listening, our guest is Jordan Maxwell, researcher, website www.jordanmaxwell.com. Jordan, child sacrifices, 65,000 baby skeletons came out of the fountains in Vatican.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, and the Vatican is actually where it sits, the actual geographic location of the Vatican. Interesting that many years ago, the Vatican had, the Pope at that time commissioned a cleanup of a certain area of the catacombs. The catacombs were all the tunnels, miles of tunnels under the Vatican. It's like Tacos. You pull up a rock and there's all these little paths and all the insects
yeah.
are operating under this big rock. And so consequently, under the Vatican is miles of secret tunnels. And much of this has been modernized, cleaned up, put carpet in them, running lights, and storing very valuable documents. All kinds of valuable things are stored directly under the Vatican in the tunnel. And which has nothing to do with the Vatican archives. We're talking about tunnels. They're called catacombs. Now, as I said, the Vatican was ordered by the Pope to start cleaning up a particular section of the catacombs and bringing it up to date, as I said, because they were painting the walls, cleaning it up, running lights, and I guess they were running out of room, so they had to have some new area. And when they were cleaning it and chipping away on the floor, a part of the floor fell through, exposing that there was a room underneath the floor of the tunnel under the Vatican.
Uh-huh.
And so immediately they put lights down there, opened the hole up larger, and people went down into the hole to find out that they were in a huge room under the floor of the tunnel, which is under the Vatican. And now it becomes interesting because they went down into that room, brought lights down there, and discovered the Vatican sits directly on top of the oldest temple. It was a temple. It was an old ancient temple of Mithra. And they had all the symbols of Mithra and all the statues. And we find out that the very Vatican is sitting on top of the oldest Mithra temple we know of. They knew about the other temples in Mithra in Italy and around the general area of Mithra. But now they found a very ancient temple of Mithra. And the Vatican sits right on top of it. How appropriate. Now, once you understand that Mithra is actually the sun,
yeah.
And according to, if you just go back to the reference work, go back to encyclopedia and look up the word Mithra. And from Mithra, you get the word mitre. Mitre comes from Mithra.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery. Mystery,
mm-hmm.
mystery, Mithra, mitre. And this is a strange hat. It's called the Pope's mitre. Mitre is connected to the word Mithra. Any dictionary will tell you that. Now, Mithra, we're talking about 1,000 years before Christianity, or 500 years before Christianity in Rome, the most important religion in the Roman Empire. There were many different religions in the empire. Caesar didn't care what god you worship. As long as you remember, he's the boss. That's the way Rome was run. You can have all your different religions you want, believe whatever you want, as long as you remember that he is God. and he doesn't mind the children believing whatever they want to believe, as long as everybody remembers who the boss is. Well, that's today the same thing.
But hasn't changed.
Well, today in modern-day Rome, America, government does not care about what religion you belong to as long as you remember who the boss is. And you can talk to God and pray to God and all that other stuff, but you just remember the federal government is God. Period. There is no other God but the federal government. And if you don't think so, they'll deal with you. So consequently, as long as you have your 501c3 and have got permission and got a license, you have your license and your permits, and you've gone down to the city hall, which is the Hall of Initiation in Egypt, all these words are connected, and you go to the city hall and get your license and pay your fees and fines, and now you can actually have a church or have an organization or a business or something, and you can talk about the Lord and you can talk about God all you want as long as you've got a permit, as long as you've got a license to do that.
Yeah.
So consequently, in Rome, they didn't care who you worship as long as you crawl over here on your knees and pay your respects to God, Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, emperor of the world. Now, follow the logic. Once you begin to see how Rome worked, once you begin to see how Mithra worked, the whole religious establishment in Rome was a multiple, various religious beliefs, of course, because there were so many people coming into Rome from the empire, and so Rome didn't mind the different religions. But the main religion of the original Romans, who were Etruscans, the main religion was the religion of Mithra. And Mithra religion dominated the military and dominated the government until the coming of Constantine, who converted to Christianity, and now no longer was Mithraism invoked. Now Christianity.
Yeah, but
wasn't it the major religion?
But Jordan, wasn't it that King Emperor Constantine and his witchcraft wife, they rewrote and got their hands on all kinds of bits and pieces and some lots of bits and pieces of scrolls, and they put them together and they formed this revised, they said, but it wasn't revising, this new form of Christianity that went out and slaughtered millions of people till today?
That's what I was about to tell you. Now, go on my website, Jordan Maxwell, and when you're spelling Jordan, remember it's J-O-R-D-A, not O, J-O-R-D-A-N, Maxwell, M-A-X-W-E-L-L, jordanmaxwell.com, and go to links, go to the links, and on the links you will see one of the links is a organization called Christianism. Christianism.com. The website was done by my doctor friend who told me he's in Southern California, and my doctor friend who did this website told me, he said, I was inspired to do this website by you, Jordan. You're the one that inspired me to do this.
Uh-huh.
And he said, because I was a Catholic, and the things you were saying were very, very hurtful to me. It was very offensive to me. Mm-hmm. I was very highly offended at one of your lectures many years ago. he said, and I brought my Catholic friends, and we were very highly offended at everything. And he said, however, being as it is that I was highly offended, I also could not shake the idea that you might be right. And being intellectually honest and wanting to be intellectually honest, I decided to see if what you were saying was true.
Uh-huh.
Well, he said, so I sold my practice as a doctor. I sold my practice. I sold my properties, my home. And I liquidated everything I own. And I took 8.5 years to roam around the world and do research on my religion and my faith and Christianity, etc., etc.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, and so consequently, the end result, and here is the end result, and he has now, he gave me the end result of his research work, but now it's actually on the web. It's called Christianism.com. And it's like 2,600 pages of research and reference works on where everything came from. Period. End of sentence. The most extraordinary research I have ever seen done by anyone ever is this incredible website. So if you've got any questions about any of this, go on that website and read for the next 3 years, because there's a huge amount of documentation. He footnotes everything. That's all it is. There's 2,600 pages of nothing but footnotes telling you where stuff happened, who did it, how much they were paid, all of it. Anyway, let's get back to Mithraism in Rome.
Yes, the sun.
Yes, the sun.
You know,
you know,
I want to tell you a little anecdote, because my father was become a Jesuit priest.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And my mother was a Mi'kmaq native who had been raised and brought up by a Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
And when these two met, everything they thought went out of the window, because his family, since he was the only son, wasn't going to accept him. Well, what happened was he raised his two first children, and of course they were 20 and 10 years older than myself. And then I came in the poor man's life, and I mean poor man, because he might as well have brought in a bucking bull in the house.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, you are confused. You are so confused, it isn't funny. Before he passed away in 1971, the man had a prolonged life after death experience. And he said to me, I should have listened when you were 3. I should have believed you when you were 7. He says, and I should have accepted it all when you had your life after death journey, and you came back and you told me that this was all dark stuff and I should get out. He said, but now I know for myself. Now, if we have listeners out there that are in a state of rage and have difficulty accepting what you are saying, they should open their mind and open their heart and ears, whether they're priests or nuns or whatever they are, and research for themselves instead of walking around with blinders on.
Well, let me say this, that my mother, I was born and raised a Catholic. And my mother and father, who are gone now, were very good and very devout Catholics. So I am not in any way casting anything on my mother or my father or my family that I love. I'm talking not about people. So what happened during the 40s and the 50s with the Kiefhofer hearings? If you go back to the 50s, when Senator Kiefhofer was investigating the mafia in America, and there was a lot of talk about at that time, I remember, because I was born in 40, so by 50s I was old enough to remember all of the Kiefhofer hearings. and it was the Senate hearings on organized crime in America.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about the mafia and the Cosa Nostra, etc. And when they would bring some of these mafiosi godfathers up before the Senate, I remember distinctly them saying, they would say, why are you picking on the Italian people? You're causing, you know, you were saying these terrible things about the good Italian people. And Keith Osborne would say to them, Don Corleone, I am not condemning the Italian people. We're talking about you. We're not talking about the race called the Italian people. We're not talking about the nation. We're talking about you. You are just one Italian, and that's the one we're interested in. We're not talking about everybody who's Italian. We're not talking, there are some Jews who are very, very, very evil. That doesn't mean Jewish people are evil. It is an understood fact among intelligent people that there's good and bad in everybody, in everything. Every group, every country, every nation has saintly people, good people, hardworking people, yeah, and criminals. So it doesn't matter what nation you go to, you always find good people and bad. And so just because somebody's bad doesn't mean the whole nation is evil. No. It's stupid. Well, the same thing is true when you talk about what we're talking about today. I'm not obvious talking about the Catholic people. My dear mother, who was gone, was a Catholic. My whole family was Catholic. My mother had an uncle or a friend who was worked in the Vatican, Secretary of State office. So we were a very big Catholic family in our city when I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not talking about Catholic people. I'm not. When I talk about the when I talk about what's going on in the corporation called the Mormon Church, I'm not talking about the people of Utah. I know the people. I've been through Utah. I love the people. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the organizations which have been in existence for hundreds and some for thousands of years. I'm talking about corporations. And so when Mr. Keith Offer was talking about the mafia, he's not disparaging or condemning the Italian people.
Mm-hmm.
He's only talking about one in particular. All right, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the Catholic people. I'm talking about the organization called the Vatican. And until you understand what Vatican means, until you understand what why the Pope is called Holy Father, unless and until you understand Propaganda Due, P2, International Mafia, Locuda Nostra, or if you don't understand any of this, it's all right. Just go rent the movie Godfather 1, 2, and 3. Go rent the movie Godfather and the three of them. And if you want to understand better what I'm saying today, go rent the third one in the series called Godfather Part 3, in which it talks about P2 Lodge. And it explains the connection between the Holy Father, who was making $100 million deals with the mob for distribution of narcotics throughout the world, for white slavery. Go rent the movie. And it will tell you about how the different bankers were killed and murdered because they do too much, and how the Vatican is moving funds around the world through international underworld organizations like the French Connection. And then you begin to see for the first time, this is a very powerful, corrupt, filthy, and degenerate operation operating on the face of the earth. It is purely, at its core, the Vatican is what is referred to as international organized crime. At its highest levels. And I am amazed at how many people have no idea in the world what they're looking at. They, all they know is that the streets of America are filled with angry men. The streets of America are filled with the poor, the unemployed, drugs everywhere. The people and the children are killing each other. They're killing each other in school. There are gang wars. the entire superstructure of our Western civilization, and especially in America, is obviously going under.
Yeah.
Now is nothing more than crime. Criminal syndicates run America. And America, all you've got, you don't have to be a brain surgeon or an astronaut. You don't have to have that kind of an education.
Yeah, but what do you do, Jordan, when you have people that, let's say we have somebody 25, 30 years old, and they have been brainwashed, and they are hearing us disclosing and exposing what's going on. They are listening to you, and they say, that cannot be true. That's impossible. This thing, you know, oh, no, no. My priest, well, you see, the Ragusa family, they had only one son.
Okay.
Yeah, but they had only one son. When he was 9 years old, he was sent across the world to a boys' convent, very upper class, you know, boarding school, and he later told me what he had witnessed. He later told me how he was raped over and over in the first 6 weeks when he got there.
Oh, I know. That's why the church has something called, well, first of all, an altar. What is an altar? Well, it's a place where you sacrifice something. Well, why do you have altar boys? You ever thought about that?
No.
Why do you have altar boys? Because an altar is where you're officiating at a sacrifice.
That's right.
And therefore, you have to have boys on the altar. And of course, they will tell you, oh, well, that goes back to the ancient world. And of course, it goes back to the ancient world. And Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And you say, wait a minute. What was that? In the Old Testament, we are told that Abraham was told by God to take his son out and cut his head off and kill him. And then we're told that, well, Abraham knew that that God had said so, and so consequently, obviously, if God says go out and kill somebody, then I guess we have to do it. Because after all, it is the Lord. Is the Lord telling us that that this person is evil and they have to die? So I've got a gun and I'll do it myself. But maybe I'll get a little brownie point in heaven if I murder this lady and her child. And so consequently, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Abraham is told to go kill his son, and then the Lord would be happy. And so the Bible says in Genesis that Abraham took his son, his young son, out to the outskirts of town and tied him up and was going to kill him. And just before they stabbed him with the knife in the throat, because that's what they would do, cut your throat and you can drain the blood. And an angel came to Abraham and said, no, you don't have to do that. God was just fooling. He just wanted to see if you would do it. He just wanted to see if you were really dedicated to following the Lord. And so the Lord sees now that you are trustworthy. And I think to myself when I'm reading all of this, wow, man, that's trippy stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe if I have some followers, I tell them to go out and find a child and kill them, because that would make me happy. And then just before they actually kill the child, they say, well, I'm just fooling. I just wanted to see if you could do it. And you think, man, what kind of lunacy is this? What kind of a lunatic story?
Jordan, when you tell this, we have a person in our audience who was rescued out of one of the darkest kinds of what they call it, not religious movement, but it is a thing, it's a branch of the Mormon Church.
Yeah, it's a cult.
And a very serious cult. And this precious lady, she was rescued out of there. And when you hear how they use the so-called names of Gabriel and Michael to go out killing people and disciplining people who do not listen, and you are looking at the people in our audience, aren't we saying, that it is more than high time that the whole world gets to listen to you, and we're also hoping that that you get to get the word out wherever you need to get it out, so people have a chance to clean up their act instead of being short-minded, closed-minded, and stupid when they do not listen what is taking place with them.
Well, I know about that particular group. They were, I don't know what the church...
Actually, they are training, the same group have trained more than 20,000 men for the Dalai Lama and all killers, all these types of individuals. Now, if you are a man of peace, would you need 20,000 warriors like that? Plus more are being trained. If you were a peaceful type of, let's say it was spirituality, it's religion, we know that. Would you need to make child sacrifices? Would you need to wear black and red robes to cover up and make yourself look innocent?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I understand. Many years ago, that group you're talking about were called the Danites. And the Danites, they had a whole group of Danites down in Mexico. I know the story. I know all about it. I've been to Utah many times. I know the entire story of the Mormon Church. I know how they got started. I know the story. I've been aware of this for many, many years. But I'm just telling you that when you look at the Mormon Church, you need to understand that something's going on right now on the world scene that's right in front of you, and it's like the Bible has Jesus saying that you will look with your eyes but don't see it. It's right in front of you, and it's called the British Israel World Federation. Go on the web and just put in the word again, no www, just put in the word in Google or in your search engine, put in the word British-Israel. British Israel. And another way you might look at it is in the dictionary, encyclopedia, is Anglo-Israel. Anglo-Israel or British Israel. Look at that subject, British Israel. It will blow your mind when you understand as far back as the 1820s in Europe. There was a movement called the British Israel, and it became known as today as the British Israel World Federation. And it's just an extraordinary story that's sitting in front of you, right in front of you, the words and the terms. And I have, and I'm going to be putting it on my website, so I'm telling everyone, the Bible talks about and has Jesus say that many will listen and will be entertained. They will be entertained, and then after the entertainment is over and the show's gone, they'll go back to doing what they always have done, because man is a creature of habit, and they'll go back and just continue to do what they've always, like Dr. Stu Crane said back in the 80s, all you need to do is do what you've always done, and that's nothing. And all your masters and conspirators have to do is what they've always done, conspire against you. And one day you will end up in prison, and one day you will discover what has happened to your country and to you and your family. But after all, you just did what comes natural, nothing. And the masters that have deceived you, they just do what they do, and that is to conspire against you, because they know you're just basically, without being unkind, you're just basically too stupid to get it.
Uh-huh. Would you think, would you really think that they indeed use 911 as a human sacrifice? Did they use other like wars are human sacrifices, no doubt about it.
Of course they are, obviously.
So where does it come from then that, and this is my real concern, because we know the Masons and the Vatican and all these other big religions out there. what are they involved with when before Christmas they have these sacrifices and these things that are taking place with new moon and full moon and what have you, all the celebrations going back to Mitra?
Well, yeah. All right, so let me go back to Mitra for a minute. I was saying before that Mitra was the dominant religion of the Roman Empire before Constantine, who became Emperor of Rome, or Emperor of the Empire. Constantine was declared the emperor, and he decided at the last minute to become a Christian. And so consequently, once Caesar becomes a Christian, which of course, if you understand, all it was Mithraism. He just called it by a different name. But once Caesar became known as a Christian, all of a sudden, Christianity now became fashionable. Do you understand what I'm saying? Follow what I'm saying. Before, Christians were referred to as a reference book. Encyclopedias at the library will tell you. Go back and read about the Roman Empire. And it will tell you that Christians were referred to in Rome when they first began. They were referred to as atheists. Christians, that's where the word atheist came from. Theist in Latin is God, or the worship of God. Theist, which gives us theology, theist. That's a whole story. But anyway, theist is basically the worship of God. And therefore, in the ancient Greek, anything that was opposite, so the opposite of the worship of God, in Greek, you put an A in front of. So if you have someone who is moral, but if you have someone who has no morals, he is called amoral. A means just the opposite of the word. So therefore, if you're a theist who believes in God, or if you are an atheist who doesn't believe in God, consequently, Christians were referred to in Rome as atheists. They did not believe in God. They were atheists. That is a fact of history. You learn that in the seventh grade if you read the history books. Why were Christians referred to as atheists? They were referred to as atheists by the ancient Romans because the Christians would not accept the religious establishment of Rome. They would not accept the gods of Rome. They would not accept all the hoopla for Jupiter, for Mars, for Poseidon, for all of the old ancient gods, which of course the Romans got from the Greeks.
People are saying, explain Freemason.
Well, I'm just saying that the Romans worshipped their gods, and consequently, the Christians refused to worship the ancient gods. And therefore, obviously, it doesn't take an astronaut to figure that out. If you don't worship the Roman gods, then you must be mentally deranged. You must be an evil atheist because you do not recognize our gods. And so today in America, if you do not fall down on your knees and shake and the blood drains from your head and weep and wail over the passing of the quote Holy Father, then you obviously must be an atheist because you do not worship the gods of Rome. And so once you begin to see how this stuff is played out, you can say, wow man, this is trippy stuff. Because if you are truly a spiritual person, and of course the word spirit has nothing to do with the word religion. Religion is a Latin word, we talked about that last time. But religion is a corporate movement. It is what is referred to as a corporation. It is everyone cooperates in religion. But between you and that divine presence in the universe that gave you life. Now that is a whole different story. Now we're not talking about a corporate place that you go to worship. Now you're talking about a spiritual thing. And the very word worship comes from two words. Work, W-O-R-T-H, the work. And ship, showmanship, craftsmanship. It's the pursuit of a particular discipline. It's called ship. Internship. And so consequently, if you are interested in showing the value of the spirit, if you want to show to the spirit that you have a very high value on your relationship with the spirit world and with your praying to the unseen spirit in the universe, then it is referred to as showing the worth and the value that you have appreciation and put a high value on your relationship with the spirit world. You have a very high value put on your relationship with the divine presence in the universe that men have called God. Therefore, if you're talking to that spirit, as which we've been told to do, just go and sit in quiet in the dark room, go out into a park where no one is around you, and just sit and talk to the spirit. And when you do, strange things will begin to happen, because now you are talking to God. You're not going to the Holy Father. You're now directly connecting your spiritual self to that divine presence in the universe that men have called God. Therefore, you are now referred to as an atheist, because you are no longer accepting the Roman gods. Now, this is where we get our word worship. Worship is worship, the value of this spiritual relationship that you have with your Creator is called the value ship or worship. And so worship is not something you do in a church on your knees. Worship is what a man would do with his wife and family if he loved them. He would do things to show them his how he feels about them. So he would show their worth, what they're worth to him. In America, unfortunately, we know the price. We're very conscious to know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. And I have said so many times in the past, always trust a person looking for the truth. Don't ever trust the one who's found it. Consequently, if you are foolish enough to follow, as the Bible said, the blind leading the blind, and both will fall into the pit, if you are foolish enough to let someone project on you, and that's what the word is in psychology, the word is project. People will project on you their beliefs, the way they see things. And consequently, if you buy into somebody else is projecting on you, this is the way you should work, this is the way you should believe, this is the way you should act. And we don't like the way you talk and the way you think and the way you act. And if you were actually one of us, you would act this way. You would wear clothes like this, and you would eat what we eat, and you would be one of us. You would be one of the common men. Well, the Bible shows that Jesus was not the common man. And there's nothing glorious about being of the common man. What is glorious is to be an uncommon person. Uncommon. One who thinks for themselves. One who is a leader. One who is intellectually and spiritually astute enough to be able to point the way to individuality before your Creator. Now, once you begin to see how the whole human race has been co-opted into a corporate mentality, that opens up a whole new can of worms. And I'm telling you, there's a lot there that will get to be really scary once you begin to see how this stuff works. And so at this point, I am just amazed, as I said. Look at the symbols, look at the emblems, look at the words, corporate logos. Driving down the street, look at the symbols and emblems of companies and logos. Look at the corporate terms and words. It's extraordinary stuff, and I'm just fascinated by, I am actually alive today after some 45 years of looking at these kinds of subjects.
And
no idea of the world what I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be around the world, where you are listening to Jordan Maxwell, Religions, Secret Societies, What Are the Hidden Foundations of Religions, What Are Their Influences on World Affairs Today? And it's very important that you stop and start to think and not go on a spin. His website is www.jordanmaxwell.com. You can contact jm@jordanmaxwell.com. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you are going to come into a state of being in the know. Not in the now, but in the know. In the know will help you to come to the realization that you have the power through your compassion and your knowledge. There is more of you than there is of them to stop the hatred, the war, and the destruction that is taking place around the world. So you are listening to, I guess, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, it is so important that people get to understand so they can no longer be manipulated into acts of hatred and violence.
Well, of course, but you know, you used a word just a few minutes ago that I think is interesting. I've talked about world affairs and religious affairs. What do you think about if you hear that some guy you know or some woman you know, a friend of yours, is having an affair? What do you think about when you hear that? Well, you know, they're having an affair. What do you mean, affair? What are you talking about? Well, I think as adults, we know what we're talking about. She's having an affair. Or he is involved in an affair. Go back and look up the dictionary for the word. Go to the old dictionary. They've changed it now in the new dictionaries. And they don't want people knowing anything now, but go back to the old dictionaries and look at the word Congress. That's interesting, Congress. And of course, oh, well, Congress is a governing body in Washington, D.C. as the Congress. No. Go back to a dictionary and look up the word Congress. And then you will finally see that it's like it's connected to and like the word to caress. To caress is something in an affair. And consequently, the very word Congress is to actually pronounce differently. It means to congress. And this is what the dictionary says, men and a man does with a woman, is to congress her. To congress means a sexual affair. And so the word Congress is actually a sexual affair, to congress. This is what a man does with a woman, is to congress. Therefore, today, it's absolutely ludicrous. We have a Congress. Well, of course you have a Congress. Well, they take care of the public affairs. Of course it's an affair. I mean, wake up and look at the words, my God. When are we going to wake up and start reading something? Do something that's really strange in your life, because people are always bored. And I hear people tell me how bored they are, and I think, my Lord, how is it possible that an adult can be bored in a world as strange as ours? So why don't you know? I mean, there are pyramids out on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
How many people know that there's a pyramid sitting on the ocean floor 10 miles north ocean, there are huge temples.
Yeah.
Enormous temples.
When I said this to Jacques Cousteau in 1968, he told me to shut up.
Well, I can see why.
And I said to him, I said, you know, I said, all these stories are wrong. I said, Japan was part of Atlantis.
That's right.
And he said, you be quiet about that. That's not true. You can't prove it. I said, I know it is there.
Well, I'm telling you that we are now finding off the coast of Cuba huge temples under the ocean. When they were digging for oil, I remember reading an article a while back when they were drilling for oil off the north shore off of England, out in the Atlantic, the British Petroleum. They first of all have to drill down through the water, which is easy. The problem is once you hit the bottom of the ocean, now it gets difficult. And so then what happens is that they have a machine on board that turns the pipe, and the pipe has cutters on it, and they start drilling into the ocean floor,
mm-hmm.
going down, thousands of feet until they can hit the oil. Well, as they're drilling off the coast of the North Shore of England, they're drilling the British Petroleum. What they're drilling and cutting into the ocean floor is naturally coming up the pipe. And so they're finding, as they're going further and further down, strange artifacts, gold jewelry, strange kinds of artifacts are being dug up from thousands of feet down under the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, well, this is probably not important because it has nothing to do with basketball. But it does appear to me to be of interest. Who the hell was around thousands of years ago under the Atlantic Ocean, my God?
But they're saying, where have you got the nerve from to start to discuss this when we are working hard day and night to shut all the people up and not let the world know that this is really the truth? And you are opening, of course, a basket here that they were sitting on.
Well, I know. It's called Pandora's Box. And so consequently, once you open up Pandora's Box, so to speak, symbolically, what you're doing is the problem is you cannot unknow anything. Once you know, once you've seen something, if you see a picture of your husband with another woman, you can't act like you didn't know and act like you don't know. It's too late. You've seen it, you know. No, and there's nothing unknown. You can't act like you did know. Now, you can deal with it in your own way, but you know, and you will never not know.
That's right.
So therefore, consequently, once you enlighten people, once you begin to cause them to start to think, now you cause a process that begins where then they say, wait a minute, back off. If this was wrong, and I've been told this all my life, and this is wrong, then what else? What else is wrong that I have been told?
Yeah, but you see, when you sit there and you are trying to do your darnest, Jordan, to educate these people out there, they haven't got the clue that when they were born, they got their serial number, and now, with every transaction they do, they are being checked. And how are you going to teach these people to say no to chipping, no to the serial numbers, and to reclaim their freedom? How are you going to do that when they have been programmed like they are? Like somebody is saying to you, oh, ask Jordan about the dotted line on the check. But you see, people need to understand that there is a way out.
The answer to your question is this. Ludwig von Mises, the great economist of Europe, Ludwig von Mises wrote in the forewords of one of his books an interesting thought. He said that the people of all nations at all times in history have always and are now and always will support a dictator. Period. End of sentence. The people have always, they are now, and always will support a dictator. Until the support of that dictator becomes more burdensome than his overthrow. That's Ludwig von Mises, the European economist.
Yeah, but when you
and when I read that, and when I read that, I thought, wow, man, that is a very powerful thought. That people always go along with a dictator. Just like as the people of Chicago and Cicero, Illinois, did nothing to stop Al Capone.
Uh-huh.
The people have not and do not ever try and do anything against the mafia. When did the last time you saw the people of Chicago rise up and demand to throw the mafia out of Chicago? Never has happened, not happening now, and never will.
No, because at the same time as we are speaking, we know that the churches out there are the policing of the masses.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is that the people have always... Now, I said this, I think, on your program. I do usually have two shows a day. I think I said this on your show. I view the public of any country, but especially my own country, I view the public like the gazelles or zebras or the animals out on the plains of Africa. Out on the Serengeti plains of Africa, you will see those beautiful pictures of the different animals. They're out there in their herds, and they're grazing on the great plains of Africa, and they're minding their own business. The elephants are out with the elephants, and the zebras are with the zebras. They're not bothering anybody.
Yeah.
Their family units are the different animals hang together, and they're all out grazing and tending to their young and trying to find enough food and to feed their young.
Uh-huh.
And that's all they know how to do.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is that the lions are organized. There's not too many of them, but these are killers. The lions are very organized, and they're hungry. And they are very quiet. They're slipping around very, very quietly so as not to let the herd know what they're doing, because they will stampede the herd. The herd will start running crazy, and you don't want them to run crazy, because that would be disorder. And of course, that's why we have a police department. They are to keep the order. So everyone has to continue to keep the order, or to keep the peace. So you don't want to be unpeaceful.
Yeah, but
so the lions don't want to be unpeaceful.
Uh-huh.
The lions are crawling quietly in the high grass. But the point I'm making is that they are organized. And what you need to realize is that criminals have always been organized. They are organized, and once they get organized in the criminal, we call it organized crime.
Yeah.
As opposed to disorganized crime.
Mm-hmm.
Disorganized crime is what we do out on the street, all of us. You know, we walk against the light, and we don't do this, and we do that, and some little Mickey Mouse thing that we did, infraction of the law. But it's all disorganized. Everybody just breaks the law all the time. But then when you get to the real professionals, now we call it organized crime. And consequently, This is what the lions represent. They are stalking the herd and organized. They,
yeah.
They're killers, and they work together. Well, now you're talking in the symbolic, you're talking about the secret societies, the fraternal orders of crime around the world who have the money. And like Michael Corleone said in the movie Godfather, in the first movie, The Godfather, when his girlfriend, the young son of the Godfather, his girlfriend said, Michael, why is your family like this? Why is, I don't want to be a part of any family like this. And he said to her, he said, Kate, in 5 years, we're going to be strictly legit. Go back and watch the movie, Godfather 1. And you will hear Michael say to his girlfriend, we're going to be strictly legit in 5 years. Meaning, what that means is that we're talking about organized crime will one day become so powerful,
yeah,
and so awesome in their power that they can now present themselves as a corporation. They are now able to have that kind of hundreds of millions of dollars to incorporate into a company, and now they are very legitimate. They have a president, a vice president of the company, and now they're very legitimate, and they are finally fully legit. They're no longer a criminal family anymore. Now they've taken their crime to Wall Street. Now they're in business. And this is exactly what Wall Street is all about. Organized crime at the highest levels by the people who have made the money by raping the American public. And the public loves it. I'm just amazed at how much we don't think and we don't know. We don't read.
Are the people all so stupid that within 2 years that all their banking is electronic and that they have lost all their control, they shall have no longer any cash? So if there was going to be an underground economy, which there's going to be, no doubt, because in the beginning they will not realize, because they're already saying, oh, wonderful, electronic banking. You don't have to carry cash. All you need is a chip.
And then one day, if you get out of line and begin to, quote, think un-German thoughts, end quote. That's what the Jews were warned about in Nazi Germany. The Jews were told, you better keep your mouth shut and not think un-German thoughts. If you're questioning Herr Führer, you're questioning the methods of government.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Herr Führer represents the government, and you don't want to go against the government, end quote. When I was 19 years old, I came to California, and I joined a German-American friendship club here in Los Angeles because I loved the German people and I loved the German atmosphere. I love all the people of the world, but I love their culture. And so I used to go to the parties, the German parties, and the food was great, the dancing, it was all a wonderful entertainment. And then because I was 19, I already knew that I could get away with things at 19 that you couldn't when you get older. So I played dumb, and I would play dumb purposely. And sitting at the table with all of these German, old German families, and they all knew me well. They were my good friends. And I would ask them, I said, tell me, because I'm just a teenager, you know, but tell me, didn't you know who Adolf Hitler really was? Didn't you know where the money was coming from, who was financing Hitler? Didn't you know what he was doing to the Jews and to other people? How could you not know what was going on? And all the different old couples would tell me the same thing. They said, Jordan, seriously, we did not know. We just were unaware. It was the government. We were, you know, you don't want to go against the government, obviously. If the government is doing something, that's the government. You follow the government, whatever the government. consequently, went along because obviously it is the government, and the government's doing something. Well, I mean, they're putting us to work, and we've got families, and at least we're eating, and now we have a job, and after all, whatever, you know, it may have been whatever, but at least he was the head of the government. And so we just didn't know. Well, now I look back at 65, I look back on those years, I was 19, sitting with those families, and now I know what I suspected then, but now I know. Now, the reason why these old German couples did not know about Hitler is because they chose not to know. It would be better if you just played dumb. And maybe, if you're not Jewish, they'll leave you alone. Or maybe, if you are not some other group that Hitler has decided is undesirable and will be dealt with accordingly, well, once you see your friends being arrested at 2 o'clock in the morning and taken out and beaten and never to be seen again, it would be wise for you to just play dumb. Just go to work, do your job, and shut up. Because if you open your mouth, you are now un-German. And you are now questioning Herr Führer. And you know what you're going to get. And your wife and children you have to protect. You have a job to protect. You're getting money from your work to eat and to live. So just because they're taking your Jewish friend off tonight and they come to arrest the Jewish family next door, just shut your mouth and watch TV, basketball's on, and don't worry about it, but just thank God you're not Jewish. Thank God that you are not Jewish, because, well, we all know what's going to happen to them. And so, therefore, that's why one clergyman who was intellectually honest said, you know, something to the effect that when they came for the Jews, I was not a Jew, so it didn't bother me, and when they finally came for all the other people, I didn't say anything about none of it, because I'm not any of it, and now they're coming for me. Now they've got an order for my arrest. And now there's nobody here to stand up and protect and help me, because all the other good people are already either dead or in prison. And so the bottom line is, what goes around comes around. And we are now seeing the entire world being led into the last and final days of an old order of freedom, liberty, and justice on the earth. We're now seeing the entire superstructure of Western civilization crumbling before your very eyes, and like the song that Merle Haggard sang many years ago, called Jesus Take a Hold, what you're seeing is the world is the Roman Empire, and the entire superstructure of Western civilization is based on the Roman Empire. And like Rome, it is now crumbling. And just as the Roman Empire began to crumble in the 4th century and began to go down fast, and Rome was now being invaded by hoodlums and illegals, etc., etc., and the Caesars could not do anything about it because they needed the money and the support. And before you know it, the entire superstructure of Rome and the ancient Roman Empire became a holocaust of violence, death, destruction, and jails, prisons, and sexual crimes against people. It was an incredible destruction of an ancient empire.
Yeah, but Jordan, when you say that, how many of the listeners that are out there, how many people that are here are realizing that we have prisons sitting empty, brand new prisons, capable of holding 200, 300, 400, even a million people sitting empty with gas chambers and crematoriums and railroad cars with portholes in it, CNN-type buses that they can get in but cannot get out. Is it so that the people are going to do, I'm a survivor of World War II, I lost my family there. Is it going that they are going to do the same stupid thing? And are they going to sit there and do nothing?
Well, you have to remember that history repeats itself, as Fontana said, for those who will not learn from history are bound to repeat it. And consequently, the people of the Roman Empire, once the empire began to go in decline, once the empire started going under and there was no longer any rule of law, there was no longer any protection by law, law was now simply whatever Caesar decided to say was law, that's what the law is. And if tomorrow Caesar gets up and decides that something different he's decided is the law, what are you going to do about it? Caesar says this is the law, and you say, well, but wait a minute. We have a constitution. No, no, no. You don't have a constitution or a bill of rights. What you have is Caesar, Augustus, Tiberius, or the August one, who has now decided for himself, because obviously he is emperor of the empire, he has decided that you have nothing to say about it. You or your God has nothing to say about it. He will decide whatever the law is, and anyone who's got any good sense and any brains will go along with it. So therefore, all of the well-fed, cigar-smoking, steak-eating, Mercedes-driving attorneys will make sure they go along with the law.
That's right.
And if the law says that this old lady, who is 80 years old, is to be thrown out of her home, well, remember, this is the decree of Caesar. And we are naturally would want to go along with the law. And my point in all of this is simply this. I understand the human condition of being frightened to death of a gang. I personally am frightened to the to death of a gang. I don't like being surrounded by 40 or 30 guys in a gang. That's frightening. And consequently, this is exactly why the Jews kept their mouth shut in Nazi Germany up to a point when they began to see it's over. It's finished. You open your mouth now and you're going to get it anyway. But if you open your mouth, they're going to come to you first because you're going to get it anyway. And consequently, you don't, all of a sudden, you are frightened because now you see that your wife and your children or your husband and your children and your family is now undesirable.
But if you look back...
You'll be dealt with accordingly.
But if you look back, Jordan, at the war, at what happened in the Netherlands and in Belgium, and you step back of what happened there, and you're going to say to what I'm seeing here on the audience and people, why, if people are getting the information, and of course we are giving the information like as much as we possibly can, why aren't they preparing, and why aren't they in a state of cautiousness to make sure that they are going to step out of the way because the train is on the track and it is coming? We told people there would be a monetary crash in December 2006 or 2005. You know, but what is it? Why are they not organizing, and where is their level of compassion?
Well, let me at this point make a couple of announcements concerning myself.
Yeah.
Because we only have a few more minutes. First of all, I have never, and I will never present myself to an audience as being the world's foremost authority on anything.
No.
Because if I have learned anything in the past 40 years or more, I have learned how much I don't know. And therefore, the people who are the most pathetic people you will ever come in contact with are those people who know everything about everything, and everything is just fine. Their children are in school, they're going to college, and they've got steak on the broiler tonight for dinner, and they've got beer, and they've got their home, and their families are well fed. And so who the hell cares about children who are being raped and plundered in Africa to start with? I mean, after all, who the hell cares? Second, most important, is you don't want to rock the boat. And besides, if some people have to die, whatever, it's just, that's life. So just be happy that you have a new Mercedes, and be happy that you've got a nice home to live in, and just shut your mouth. Go along to get along, or you're going to be the next one they're going to be arresting at 2 o'clock in the morning, and where the Jews are going, you're now going. So the point is, I am not the world's foremost authority on anything. Again, I would say, I feel far more at ease to say that I am an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I'm just an ordinary man, but I am not stupid. And what I bring to the table is this. I do not bring brilliance or intelligence to the table in any conversation that I give. What I'm doing and saying is not brilliant or highly intelligent. It actually doesn't require much of anything to figure out what the name of the tune is here, and everybody most likely knows it. But very few people want to say anything about it. Well, the only reason I am putting myself out on the line to talk about the things I do is for this reason, and I want to clarify why I do what I do, who I am, and what I do. I'm not an authority on anything. I am merely an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. Now, why do I do what I do? The reason why I continue knowing what I know and understanding and knowing where this is going, and I know it's coming. I already know where all of this is going to end up because I watched history from 1933 to 1945. I know how Hitler came into power. I know what Hitler did while he was in power.
Yeah.
I know how the people loved him and crawled on their knees to show the emperor how much they loved him. But I'm also well aware, you don't have to be a genius to figure out and read the history of what happened to the German people in 1944 to 1945, when the entire country of Germany was plundered by the Allies and the Russians, when the fascist Nazis who had destroyed the great German Republic had made enemies all over the world, and then one day it all came home. The Russians came in from one side, the Allies came in from the other, and Germany was absolutely laid low, destroyed, bombs going off, fires everywhere, people were dying in the streets. Hey, that's what God does. What goes around comes around. If you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. So it's called karma. It's a karmic thing. What you do comes back on you. Now, why do I do what I do? I do it because of one reason only. There is no legitimate or intelligent reason for a man my age to be putting his life on the line, and make sure you understand that is precisely what anyone does if they talk about this kind of stuff now. In America, you can be arrested as a terrorist for belching in public.
That's right.
We are now a fascist, totalitarian, Nazi state. And consequently, anyone who, quote, thinks un-German thoughts, end quote, will be dealt with by the authorities. And they don't need to have any law. They'll just knock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you are finished. Now, why then do I do what I do? It is simply this. When I was young as a child growing up, ball and tennis ball and playing with the kids, I was always wondering why. Why is this and why is that? And I would spend a lot of time sitting in libraries, talking to librarians, talking to older people when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, carrying on adult conversations with priests, with monsignors, with all kinds of adults, because I wanted to know. Of course, not too many people have that kind of a bent in their personality. But I wanted to know. I was interested. And I realized, if you want to know, well, now you're talking about education, and it's going to cost you something. And so I made a conscious effort to decide that I want to know, and I'm going to make it my business to read everything I can, talk to anybody I can, and really get to the bottom of something. Whatever it is I'm doing here, whoever it is we are, I want to know, and I'm going to do whatever I can for the rest of my life to dig down as far down into the darkness of human, of the human life we live, to find out what is going on here. Who are we? Why are we here? What is pay my rent when the Queen of England rides around in a gold chariot? Something is wrong here. Therefore, the people who were paramount on the cutting edge, intellectually speaking, the people who were paramount, who were on the cutting edge, who were putting their life on the line to teach those who wanted to know, I was always admired. I always admired great teachers and great philosophers and intellectual and spiritually minded people who were on the cutting edge of truth and intellectual honesty. And I sought to know, what do you know? What can you tell me? I realize today most people don't give a damn.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head.
All right, but listen to me. There are many people who are spiritually and emotionally disturbed because they may not know everything, but they know enough to know that the world itself is now in a downward spiral, and they know that something is coming. And I don't care how well-fed you are and how happy you are and how much money you've got, everybody knows there's something wrong, and something is coming. And therefore, just as I wanted to know as a child and as a young person, and all my life, I have always admired people who were brave to tell the truth so that I could know it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if somebody else in town cared, I care. That's why I do what I do. I do not do what I do knowingly for the world and the public at large. No, I do what I do only that I might pay back to the great masters and the great teachers of the world, the great men and women who stood for truth and honesty and decency against the world of darkness. That's what I want to be a part of. I want to be remembered as someone who stood up for truth and caused the people to question authority. That's who I am. I'm not a master. I'm not an authority. I am an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. And I want to thank you for being with you tonight.
Oh, Jordan, you are a gem, and we are very happy. And everybody is already anxious for when you come again. And ladies and gentlemen, our guest Jordan Maxwell, website www.jordanmaxwell.com. You can contact jm@jordanmaxwell.com. Please be aware that what you hear here today will change your life forever. When he comes back, tell your friends and family so they may be in the know. Without being in the know, what are you going to do with tomorrow? And that was it, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you so very much, and may the Creator keep you. and his gentle, loving care until we meet again. And his website, www.joannlynnmaxwell.com. Be in the know. Goodbye, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, until we meet again.
1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, in your home, at work, and around the world, broadcasting without borders, this is the Powell Talk Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having joined us for Eye on the Future with Hepzibah, and her special guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan will be on the show again on Thursday, April 28th, between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Powell Talk, the number one multimedia community on the Internet. Visit Powell Talk's website at www.powelltalk.com. This is Eye on the Future Radio, broadcasting on the Powell Talk Radio Network. Trust it, be connected, be informed. And visit Eye on the Future's website at www.eyeonthefutureradio.com for upcoming guests.
And Jordan?